Hello, podcast world. Welcome back to Strong Body, Stronger Mind. It has been not too long, but, you know, longer than we would like, but things happen and we took a little 2.5-ish week hiatus, but we're back here and we're excited.
We are excited. So I am Chelsea Stewart, in case you guys have forgotten who we are. I'm Chelsea Stewart and this is...
Celeste Barker, and if you are new here, welcome to our podcast, and if you are returning, thank you for returning even after we, you know, took that little hiatus. But we're back with a very good topic, a very popular topic for us specifically. If you did not know, Chelsea and I are both coaches for Team NK Athletics, which is an online coaching team. And we provide nutrition guidance, nutrition coaching, and training coaching for our clients. And recently we have started incorporating training intensity checks with our check-ins. So we thought that in this podcast, we would talk about what training intensity is, you know, why it's important, how to go about it, and, you know, what we kind of look for in those check-ins.
Yeah. So we both started incorporating training intensity. I really like incorporating the training intensity to online coaching because I do find online coaching can oftentimes become this, here's your macros, follow your protocol, here's a workout split, but I don't really know what your training looks like because I could give 10 different people the exact same training split and all 10 people will have different results based off of their training intensity. So I don't know about you, but for me, when I first started asking clients to send me over training intensity, I was a little bit nervous that people were going to think I was like zeroing them out, like, oh, hey, you're not progressing the way I want you to be progressing, so send me your training intensity. And it's not that at all. It's that almost everybody can probably push a little bit harder and we'll see better results from just literally improving their training intensity. Probably both of us, I know for sure, at least me included, videoing even just for yourself can make such a difference in terms of pushing yourself harder. So why is training intensity so important and why is it important to not only video yourself for your coach to look over, but for yourself to even look over?
Sorry, I just like choked up. Bad. No, I just like it like choked up. Like, it was hot, number one. And anyway. Your girl's a little bit tired, so we're drinking some coffee.
Well, I just had a sip of her coffee. We're on Zoom. She had a sip of her coffee and she made this awful face. I was like, oh my goodness, is that terrible?
No, it was hot and it was just a little anyways, not important. Training intensity.
So I will say right off the bat, Celeste, it probably has better training intensity than every single one of you guys listening and me. So Celeste, let's ask you real fast, why is training intensity so important?
Well, when you are, you know, given any type of program, you have your set reps, you have your set sets, you know what you got to do. But that's just words on paper, right? As an athlete, it is up to you to bring that workout to life, and it's up to you to push yourself to a new threshold if your goal is to progress. Because if you go into the gym and you do the same weights for the same amount of reps every single week, you're not putting that stimulus on your body for it to progress. So you are going to stay the same. So the goal with having a program and the goal with, you know, paying attention to your training intensity is so that you can improve. Because when you are improving in your training and, you know, considering all other variables are intact as well, you're going to improve in your physique because, you know, muscle doesn't just build itself, right? You don't just pick up a weight and boom, you're the Hulk, right? We all wish that were the case, but it's not as easy as that. You do have to put your body in this uncomfortable place in order for you to progress. You need to give your body a reason for you to get stronger, for you to put on muscle. And, you know, the more intense your training is, typically the more results you are going to see in your body composition.
So I think it's important to note that training intensity doesn't mean your heart rate is at, you know, 180, 200 beats per minute your entire session. It doesn't mean you never let it go back down. It doesn't mean that you're supersetting everything. It doesn't mean we're doing this high intensity interval circuit training. Training intensity simply means, are you asking your body to do something it's not already easily able to do? Because if your body's already capable of lifting a weight for 10 reps, and yeah, maybe you get a little burn, but there's really no true struggle in getting those reps, what makes you think it's going to change? It's not going to change if it doesn't have to change, right? If your body can already, you know, leg press 3 plates for 10 reps, even if it hurts a little bit, you've already done it, you know, 5 times in the past, there's no reason for your body to change. You know, training intensity looks like those last 2 or 3 reps, they're barely moving because your body does not easily know how to do that. That is training intensity. Training intensity is within the program. It doesn't mean you got to do jumping squats in between your squats to keep your heart rate up. It means giving the protocoled reps and sets the effort that they deserve in order to stimulate change.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I think a lot of people think like, oh, I didn't sweat as much in my workout, or I wasn't as, you know, sore from that workout, or anything like that they think is an indicator of a good workout. And that's not the case at all, right? Only you know how hard you are pushing yourself. And even if you're not, you know, debilitatingly sore after a workout, which you honestly, you know, shouldn't be, that doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad workout, yes. Right? Soreness isn't an indicator of a good workout. Profusely sweating isn't an indicator of a good workout. A good workout is based off of your intensity. It's based off of, you know, did you progress this week from last week, whether that be in, you know, weights, whether that be in reps, whether that be in better form, better control. There's so many ways to gauge, you know, progress in the gym. But it does come down to, like Chelsea said, putting your body in a new environment and doing something that you have, that your body has not done previously.
Yeah. So I'd say, what is training intensity? Training intensity is what you just said, asking your body to do something it's not already capable of doing, literally giving your all to every single set. Why do we want our training intensity to be there? Well, because if we want to see growth or change in our physique, your body's only going to change if you force it to change, you know? So why do we need to be intentional and have training intensity in place? Because we're obviously in the gym to change our physique, right? So how do we track it? Like you said, Celeste, soreness is not an indication of training intensity. I can't tell you how many times I've had people say, well, I didn't get sore this week, so my training intensity must not have been that great. Well, if you're saying that your training intensity probably wasn't that great, I will say it's probably safe to say it wasn't, because if you knew you pushed yourself as hard as you could have, you would not be saying that. But soreness is more of an indication of lack of recovery or just novel stimulus. So changing everything up from week to week is going to make you very sore. Doesn't mean that you pushed any harder, just means you did something your body, you know, is just not used to doing at all.
Yeah. Typically it's more of a case of under recovering versus a bad workout.
But so if soreness and sweatiness and heart rate aren't an indication of training intensity, how do you know if you're training intentional? My number one tip for tracking your intensity and gauging your intensity is film your workouts, whether you send them to a coach, whether you post them on Instagram, whether you literally just watch them. I recommend, and I do this myself, I film my sets and I watch them back in between my first set and my next set while I'm resting. I watch it back because a lot of times you can tell if you just gave up on a rep or if you truly pushed yourself as hard as you could.
Yeah. And when you're like in the midst of a set, you know, you can feel like you're pushing yourself hard because, you know, your emotions get in it. You're like in the thick of it and you're like, you feel like you're pushing pretty hard, but then you watch the video back and you see, you know, the weights are moving fairly easily. That's what I look for in my videos and in clients' videos, like how fast the weight is actually moving, how controlled the weights are moving. And I always ask my clients to like film the whole set, right, from beginning to end. Because when I first did it, you know, I would get like these clipped out sets of like, you know, you don't see those last few reps, but yeah, those last,
reps are the most important.
Yeah, those last reps are the biggest, one of the biggest indicators of, you know, was it a true working set? Because those last 2 to 3 reps should look like you may not get those reps, right? They should, you know, be moving, you know, maybe a little bit slower. You know, form might be not the greatest. We want to keep form as intact as possible, but towards the end of a set, when we are, you know, trying to push our body to do maybe an extra set or sorry, an extra rep or two, our form might not be 100% perfect. And I think that's, you know, okay for if we are in a safe environment. But those last 2 to 3 reps should not be easy. They yeah. should feel pretty freaking hard and feel like, I don't know if I can get these next few reps, but I'm going to try.
Yeah. I tell my clients that all the time, like, I want to see your last 2 to 3 reps look like they almost didn't happen. And, you know, obviously it's great for your coach to tell you that, like, hey, okay, I want you to go heavier next week, but you can implement this and incorporate this when you're in the gym. Like for me personally, last week I filmed a working set to send to Nick. And I literally got off, I was doing a leg press. I got off the leg press. I got in 9 reps, gone for a 10th rep and failed the 10th rep. I got off that leg press thinking like, holy shit, that was the hardest leg press set of my life. I killed it. No way in hell could I have gotten that 10th rep. Well, I watched the video back and that 10th rep, it never stopped moving forward. I gave up. So I was pissed off and I went and I got the next set. I got all 10 reps in. It came down to literally my training intensity went up so much in that next set just because I watched that set back and I saw that I had given up because it hurt, not because it was hard. So there's a big difference in it being painful and it being hard. It's going to be painful no matter what. I mean, you could do 50 reps of an easy weight and it's going to be painful. Doesn't mean it's hard. So I highly recommend watching it back. And I love what you said about like form breakdown. I think everybody has in their head that they have to have this like textbook form all the time. And while, yes, you know, to a degree, please don't go out here and like hurt yourself and don't start skimping on, you know, range of motion. I see all the time these like half rep leg presses, full range of motion people. But, you know, on like a squat, for example, if your knees slightly cave in on those last couple reps, or I don't want it. Like I'm so hesitant.
like a little shaky on like a dumbbell press, or like
a little
bit of momentum with your like bicep curls or things like that.
Yeah. If you have to like get a couple quote unquote cheater reps towards the end to get those last extra really freaking hard reps in, that's okay. Don't hurt yourself. And if it hurts, like physically hurts, not your muscles are hurting. Yeah. If it physically hurts, stop, please. It is not worth it. But if you got to use a little momentum to get a little extra rep in, that's fine too. If the weight starts moving really slow, that's fine too. But how do you know you're training intensely? I keep saying intentionally. So both are important, but film your workouts, look at your form, be honest with yourself. Could I have done another one? And if you could have, go freaking repeat that set and get the other rep, you know? Don't leave it on the floor.
Yeah. And I think what holds a lot of people back, or at least for my clients initially, when I first started asking for them, is that they are afraid to film themselves in the gym, whether that's because they've never done it before, or they're afraid people are going to judge them or things like that. And what you have to understand is that people are going to judge what they're going to judge. Like, but for the most part, people in the gym are more focused on themselves than anybody else. And at the end of the day, you got to do what's best for you. You're filming for yourself. You're not, or for your coach. You're not filming for anybody else besides that. And it is only going to benefit you. And people, you know, ask questions, then, you know, you can be honest, be like, hey, I'm just filming this for myself. You know, could you mind just like not walking in front of my camera, things like that. And it gets easier the more that you do it. You know, I was that person who would like, you know, try and put my phone in like the most like secretive place that like nobody would see it type of thing. But, you know, once you just put yourself in that uncomfortable situation, just do it. You recognize that nobody cares.
I love that you brought that topic up because I would not have thought to bring that up, but that is so true. It is the biggest fear for so many people. I can't tell you how many people said the same thing to me, like, hey, that really scares me, but I'm going to try, you know? So my biggest piece of advice for that is if you know why you're doing it, if you can justify your why to yourself, it really takes a lot of pressure off. You know, I think for most people, their biggest fear is that people will think they're vain or people will think that they're, you know, that they think they're so amazing that they need to film their sets. Because I know for me, I used to struggle with thinking like, I'm not strong enough or I'm not fit enough to be the person filming my workouts, right? Because you see all of these like pro bodybuilders or pro powerlifters filming their stuff and you're like, I'm not good enough to do that. If you can justify to yourself why you're doing it, I'm doing this to send it to my coach so that I can be a better athlete. It really takes a lot of pressure away. I know it seems so simple, but then it's like, you almost have that, like you have that reasoning to give to somebody when they ask, like you said, well, I'm sending this to my coach or I'm sending this or I'm videoing this to for myself to be better. If you can justify it to yourself, it really does take a lot of the pressure off. And you don't have to set up a whole tripod or anything like that. You know, I've had people ask me, like, do I have to buy a tripod? Absolutely not. Literally, your water bottle is the best thing in the world. Just set your phone up against your water bottle. Boom, you got a place to film. Easiest thing in the world.
Yeah. And honestly, if you like take the time to look around, there's probably other people filming in the gym too. You are more than likely not the only one. And it's just so, so helpful to have that visual feedback for, you know, form, for intensity, and just so that you can know whether or not you are truly pushing yourself. And like I said before, make sure you're filming your entire set. Don't just like, you know, clip it out to see like the perfect reps and like the perfect set, because you want to see how you start and you want to see how you finish. And if you're finishing the same way that you're starting, like, you know, your first reps are a bit easier and your last reps are easy, then you know that probably wasn't a true working set for you.
Yeah. So that's a good point to make. If you film a set, or even if you don't film a set, if you start your workout, say you walk in and you're leg pressing today, you throw two plates on, whatever, you do a set of 10 and it was easy. Y'all, that doesn't count as your working set. If you have three sets of 10, that's not one of them. Your working sets start on that first set that you almost fail the 9th and 10th rep. That is your first working set. So that's something that I also have had to kind of get on my clients about is, you know, how many times have you heard people say, I need more. My workout's not long enough. This isn't enough for me. I need more volume. My workouts aren't hard enough. Or same thing. I need to be in the gym more often. I have too many rest days. I don't need these rest days. Both are telling me you're not working hard enough. Your training intensity you should only really need to be doing 4 or 5 exercises max to have a good workout. If you have to do more than 4 or 5 exercises, like 3 to 4 sets of each, to feel like you had a good workout, you need to look back and think, am I using my warm-up sets or what should have been warm-up sets as working sets? Because you're not going to walk into the gym and throw 135 pounds onto a squat bar. But at the same time, if you can squat 135 pounds for 10, you need to do a couple warm-up sets. And then your first working set isn't until you're at that 135 pounds. That would be set one. So be honest with yourself if you're counting what should be warm-up or acclimation sets as working sets. And also be honest if you don't feel like you need rest days, you're probably not training with intensity.
Yeah, because I know when I need a rest day, because I look forward to my rest days, and it's the best thing ever. I didn't used to. I used to be, you know, as somebody who, you know, was a college athlete, and like it's a very different type of training, who was used to training almost 7 days a week. That was what I was accustomed to. But when I started like specifically bodybuilding training and started, you know, learning about training intensity, and that's something else. Like it's something that is learned. And I, you know, look back at videos of when I like first started lifting or like was first working with Nick, and I'm like, wow, I was not training hard enough at all. And it is something that is learned. So if you feel like you're not, if you feel like you're not quite there yet, don't feel like you're not ever going to get there. That's why it's important to film yourself so that you can learn and can continue to get better.
Yeah, it's like with anything, you know, don't expect to go from zero to 100 overnight. I think truly what scares people the most about training with intensity is this overwhelming fear of failing and this overwhelming fear of getting hurt. So we kind of talked about it's okay to have like some cheater reps going on, but I highly recommend everybody practices feeling what it feels like to fail a rep. How to fail a squat, how to fail a bench press, how to fail a dumbbell shoulder press or dumbbell incline press, you know, any of these movements where you're not on a machine, how to fail a leg press. That one can be really scary. I know, guys, there's safeties at the bottom of a leg press, but even today, I still get scared. Like it's this weight coming at you. It feels like it's going to crush you. Practice what it feels like to fail. Bring that weight all the way down to the bottom and release it and see that it's okay. The best way to get over a fear of failing or a fear of basically pushing so hard that you can't finish that rep and you have to fail is to practice doing it and get comfortable doing it safely so you know what to do if you end up in that situation. Then you'll be able to push yourself a little bit harder because you're not holding yourself back due to fear.
Yeah, and there's nothing to fear about failure. We're not saying like go to failure every single set of every single exercise. That's not what we're saying. But when you push yourself to that failure point, then you know that is your threshold. You know that that is how far you can truly push yourself. And if you don't push yourself there, then you're never going to know what you are truly capable of and how you can, you know, surpass that next threshold the next week in order to keep getting better.
Yeah, I literally was doing check-ins before we started this podcast today. And one of my clients said she tried putting, I think it was 6 plates onto the leg press. And she said, I failed big time. And she put like the little emoji face, like the little embarrassed emoji face. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I said in her check-in was like, dude, I'm so excited to hear that you failed that leg press because that shows me that you pushed yourself harder than you've ever pushed yourself. And the only way to know that you've truly pushed yourself as hard as you can is to fail. If you've never failed, you've never truly figured out how strong you are. Failing is not something to be ashamed of. I know that there's an embarrassment factor that people have with failing. Like nobody wants to fail and have to like, you know, roll out of the leg press and unrack all the weights. It's a pain in the butt and it can most definitely be embarrassing. But at the same time, failing is such a badass thing to do. Like you just pushed yourself as hard as you possibly could have. Like how many people can say that they did that today?
Yeah, honestly, I like when I fail a set. I mean, I don't like it, but I like knowing that I pushed myself and I, you know, gave everything that I had to that set. And now I'm like, okay, that was my, you know, max point for this week. What do I got to do to get better next week?
Yeah. Like that leg press story I was telling you, that day I like ran across the gym and I went up to John and I was like, John, I just failed a leg press. And I high-fived him and he was like, fuck yeah. Like we literally were excited about that because I'm somebody who generally is very scared to fail and hurt myself, you know, especially as somebody who has, I do have a herniated disc. I have injured myself in the past. It can be scary, but I kind of had to get over that fear that like, first of all, I'm not really going to hurt myself on a freaking leg press. You know, I hurt myself deadlifting. So it's not exactly the same. Right. My animals are like having World War III right now. Guys, stop it. They're really. Yeah. My dog and my cat. But anyways, I was really excited because it was a big barrier that I had finally overcome. So don't be embarrassed to fail. And honestly, don't be scared to fail. Practice failing. A little plug. I've made so many fail videos on my Instagram. They were really difficult to make. So please go watch them.
Yeah. And if you have like a training partner that you can train with, like take advantage of that. Have them, you know, be able to spot you, have them be able to, you know, be there in case you fail, if you want that extra safety. I know that when I, you know, like train legs with somebody, and I know that they're there to like spot me in case I get stuck. It helps me to push a little bit harder because I know like, okay, I'm in good hands. If I fail, they got me, I'm good. And it allows you to, you know, get out of your head and push a little bit harder. So if you are able to train with somebody, I highly, highly recommend having a training partner.
Yeah, I can even speak from like the personal training side of things as I do in-person training. I always joke with my clients, like the second that they'll be leg pressing like, I don't know, a shit ton of weight, like 3-4 plates on each side of the leg press. And I stand there, you know, with my hands there, like my upper body has any ability to actually help them leg press here. But for some reason, me standing there, all of a sudden they can lift all of this weight with their legs. And I'm like, did you actually think that my little arms were going to be able to push this like 300 pounds away? Absolutely not. But it is. It really does help to have just that mental aid, you know, more than anything. Plus, other thing I was going to say about trainers, most trainers at the gym will gladly go and help you. If you see a trainer walking around, ask for a spot. I'm so sorry. Stop it. Get out of here. Go. Go to your room. Go to your room. Go to your room. Okay. Real life. Freaking dogs are attacking my cat.
We love it.
But trainers are generally speaking, if they're not with a client, they're bored. They would love to spot you.
Yeah. So don't be afraid to ask for a spot. Don't be afraid to push yourself to that place of failing, because until you push yourself there, one, you're always going to be afraid of it. And two, you're never going to know how strong you truly are. And a lot of us are so much stronger than we think we are. We stop ourselves. We hold ourselves back. And you're only leaving progress on the table. Like, what's worse, like failing a lift or not progressing? I think not progressing is a little bit worse. So
that is a quote. I love that. That's good. That's a freaking caption that would be written. But no, it's so true. And I feel like a lot of you guys listening to this might be thinking, oh, well, I'm in a fat loss phase, I'm dieting, so I'm not really trying to build muscle, so it's not that big of a deal. Let me tell you what, you want to lose weight eating as much food as possible. That is everybody's goal. Do you know how to lose weight eating as much food as possible? Train harder. Like the people that are out here eating 2,000 calories a day and losing weight, it's not because they have magical metabolisms. It's not because their genetics are fantastic or better than yours. It's because they train harder than you. I hate to be blunt, but it is. Yeah. Like I made my weight easily as a barely over 100-pound female on 2,400 calories a day because I work really fucking hard in the gym, not because I have great genetics. If I sat around on my butt all day, I for sure could not be eating that much food. And if I just went into the gym and went through the motions, I couldn't eat that much either. I eat that much because I work really freaking hard.
Yeah, we gotta put less emphasis on, you know, more cardio, less food, and put more emphasis into how hard can you train. Mm-hmm. Especially if you are dieting and you want to keep your muscle around, you got to give it a reason to stay around. And I just made a post on this like 2 days ago about training hard during a dieting phase. A lot of people associate, you know, oh, I'm eating less food, so I'm not as strong. Your strength doesn't just like disappear. it doesn't just go away, especially, you know, in like a lifestyle cut, where, you know, it's like a little bit different than a contest prep. You're not getting like stage lean. Your strength doesn't just disappear. You might be a little bit more tired because you have a little bit less food. You might be a little bit lower energy, but your strength is still there. Some days are going to be harder than others, but you got to find it.
Yeah. Realistically, if I could give you any advice listening to this podcast, unless you're 4 weeks out from a show and you are in a contest prep, if you're just a lifestyle diet, you should not lose any of your strength while dieting. You shouldn't. You should honestly probably see your strength go up for at least the first 1 to 2 months of a diet, if not the entire time. At the very least, you should not lose any of your strength. And if you are losing your strength, you are probably not prioritizing eating enough food before you go to the gym and fueling your workouts. If you're fueling your workouts appropriately and your mindset is there, there's no reason you can't continue to get stronger while you are dieting.
Yeah, training intensity starts even before you get into the gym, making sure you got enough sleep, making sure you got a decent pre-workout meal, making sure you got a good amount of water in you, setting yourself up so that you can train with intensity. Because if you're going into the gym with like no food in you, on like 4 hours of sleep, you're dehydrated, well, no shit, you're not going to train as hard as you could, because your body is just trying to recover from all the not recovery that you put it through. That was not English, but you know what I mean.
It made perfect sense. So I think the last little topic that we should talk about is, what if I can't go heavier and still get all of my reps in, but my set of 10 with the current weight I'm using is too easy? What should I do? Because that's a common question that I get. Yeah. And it's why for me personally, I tend to actually program rep ranges. I don't usually say 3 sets of 10. Most of my clients will get programs that say 3 sets of 8 to 12 or something of the like, and it is for that exact reason. So how do you respond to that question?
Yeah, I am the same, and I give them those rep ranges because a lot of times we get a program, we're like, okay, I gotta follow this program to the T. It says 3 sets of 10, so I'm doing 3 sets of 10. But if you are like, let's say we're shoulder pressing, with like the 35s or whatever, and, you know, you do your first set of 10 and, you know, it feels challenging, but you get to, 10 and you stop. But realistically, you probably could have gotten like two more reps, but you stop at 10 because like, oh, the program says 10, so I can't go over 10. Who says you can't? Who says you can't? If you can get 2 more reps, then get 2 more freaking reps. And then, you know, it's an indicator to you that, oh, you can probably go a little bit heavier. And the same is true on the opposite spectrum, right? Say you are going for a weight PR and you pick up the 40s. And, you know, your program says a set of 10 and you get to, 7, and then, you get to 8 and it's a little, you fail on 8 and you think that, it doesn't count because, oh, I didn't get to 10, but you went up in weight and you got the 40s for a set of 8. And then, just an indicator that, okay, next week I'm going to try and get the 40s for that set of 10. So, like we said before, utilize a range, right? Whether that, if you don't have rep ranges already programmed into your program, make them for yourself, right? If it's a set of 10, then make it a set of, like Chelsea said, 8 to 12. And if you fall within that, 8 to 12 range, you're still good.
Yeah. I always just tell my clients, like, be realistic. If I program you to do 10 reps, don't do a set of 20. Or don't do a set of 5. If you can only get 5 reps, it's probably too heavy. If you can get 20 reps, it's probably too light, right? Be realistic here. But anywhere from like 2 to 3 reps, give or take, you're still going to get that same stimulus on your muscles. And you're only robbing yourself of progress by stopping at 10 because your program says 10. Like Celeste said, who said you can't do 12? Like, your body isn't going to suddenly adapt differently because you did two extra reps. What's going to happen is your body's actually going to adapt and grow or change. Whereas with the 10, it wouldn't have done anything. And it would have just basically been like you went through the motions and you did nothing. Yeah. So,
and that's why it's also important to track your workouts, because, if you have 3 sets programmed and, maybe we'll stick with the shoulder press, right? We do the first set, we do 40s for a set of 8, right? And then maybe we back it down to the 35s. And then, for the last 2 sets, we do like, 11 and then 10, right? So now you know for that next week where you were previously and what you need to do in order to progress. So maybe for, that first set the next week, you try and get 40s for 9 or 40s for 10, and you get there. And then, you know, you utilize what you did the previous week to set you up for that next week, to set up your intensity for that next week and what you are, you know, trying to gauge for. And, you know, staying within that rep range allows you to have a bit more room to make those, you know, slight progressions in your lifts.
So, takeaways of this podcast. If you're not training with intensity, don't be pissed off when you don't see progress. Training intensity is, you know, arguably the most important part of your training. You know, everybody can be, there's no perfect program. Everybody wants a perfect program. If your program's quote unquote not working for you, it's probably more so that you're not working hard enough, to be quite blunt. But it's easy to track. It's easy to track intensity. And I highly recommend everybody films themselves at least from time to time. And like Celeste said, I highly recommend you get a logbook and you put effort into beating the logbook, whether that be an extra rep, an extra set, more weight, better form. Every single week, every single training session, try to be better than you were last week, regardless of if you're growing or dieting or maintaining your weight. You know, if you want to make any type of change to your physique, you've got to try to be better in some capacity every single time you step into that gym. So my biggest takeaway that I would like you guys to get from this is push yourself harder than you already are, because I can guarantee you every single one of you guys could in some capacity, and film your freaking sets.
Yeah. My takeaway is going to be that, you know, little quote that I said before, like what's worse, failing a set or leaving progress on the table, right? Be honest with yourself about your efforts, call yourself out, you know, because if you are lying to yourself about your intensity, you're not going to get better. You're going to stay exactly the same. Your physique is going to stay exactly the same. You're going to always be frustrated with your lack of progress. So just call yourself out. Be honest with yourself about how hard you are truly training. And everyone is capable of being a little bit better. I know I'm still capable of, you know, giving more to my workouts. I know Chelsea knows that she's more capable of giving more to her workouts, right? We can all get better in some capacity, but it comes from wanting to get better and not letting our ego get in the way. And I'm losing my train of thought. This is what happens when I go on tangents.
You're good. You're making perfect sense. It really is true. Every single one of us, even those of us who feel like we train very intenseful, could probably train with more intensity. So may I suggest a challenge?
Ooh.
I want you guys to share your failures this week.
Yes. Like,
I'll do it myself as well. Let's film ourselves in the gym and let's freaking fail. Like, not purposefully.
Yeah. Not. So like pretend like, oh, that was so hard.
We can tell. Okay. We can tell. I want to see how many people can push themselves to true failure this week. Post it on your Instagram, tag us. I want to see everybody pushing themselves harder than they've ever pushed before. I think this would be so cool to do.
We'll give you a shout out on our next podcast.
Oh my gosh. Yes. We should do like a little giveaway for anyone. If you share your failure on Instagram, I will enter you into a giveaway for someone to win a $50 Bulmar Nutrition gift card. Ooh. From me.
And I will enter you into a giveaway for a new 413 apparel launch that is coming on Sunday, April 25th. So
We're going to have two giveaway winners. So
we got some supplements and we got some clothing. So we got some incentive on the table here.
So if you somehow listen to us jibber jab for however long this podcast is, again, sorry, life has just definitely been interesting lately. And it has been, we had a little hiatus, but hopefully we'll be better than ever. We to be better than ever too. So let's all be better this week. Let's all try harder this week and let's win some free shiz.
Yeah. So clarification, we are doing a little challenge. Winner will be entered into two giveaways, one for Bulmar Nutrition, one for 413 apparel. You need to tag us in your training videos of you pushing yourself to true failure. Tag us so we can share it on our stories. And maybe we'll come up with a cute little hashtag. Maybe we won't. We probably won't. But
I've been good on my Instagram game this week, so I'll try. I'll try to add something.
We'll figure it out. Maybe it'll be just like strong body, stronger mind challenge or something like that. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But that is what we want you to do for this week. And yeah, I'm excited to see all of these. So that is going to wrap it up for episode 12 of Strong Body, Stronger Mind. Thank you for listening. We love you guys. And we are going to be back in action next week.
All right. See you guys next week. Thank you for listening.